Today we are celebrating the appearance in this world of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Though we should understand that Guru is not just someone who pops out of the sky and just talks some kind of mystic mumbo jumbo, but the Guru is to be understood in terms of the parampara that he represents. It's not that just one can just start speaking by himself or even quoting Shastra by himself. He has to follow the what is taught by his Guru. So, I'll translate this now. It's very simple. From Krishna, Chaturmukh, four-headed Brahma became inclined to serve Krishna. And Narada got the same mentality from Brahma. From Narada Vyas, Madhva called himself the servant of Vyas. And that Madhva, who is also known as Purna Pragya, or all-knowing, is the goal of Padmanabha. Of course, Padmanabha is a well-known name of Krishna, but here it means the devotee called Padmanabha. So Nrihari is also in the line of Madhava, or the spiritual family. Madhvacharya. Madhvacharya line. Nrihari. It's Narahari, and this is Nrihari. And Akshobhya, another Paramahamsa, accepted him. Nrihari accepted Akshobhya, who is another Paramahamsa, as his disciple. Jayatirtha was known as a disciple of Akshobhya, and Gyanasindhu became his, Jayatirtha's, servant. From him came Dayanidhi, whose servant was Vidyanidhi, from whom came Rajendra. Rajendra's servant was known as Jayadharma. Then, next line, Parampara Jano Bhalomote, that one should know very well what is the parampara. We should know who are the acharyas, what do they teach. Purushottam, the sannyasi Purushottam, was well known for serving Jayadharma, and from him came Brahmanyatirtha, who is a devotee. His servant was Vyasatirtha, and the servant of that Vyas was Lakshmipati, from whom came Madhavendra Puri. The greatest disciple of Madhavendra Puri was Ishvara Puri, or you can say prominent disciple. And also disciples were Nityananda and Advaita, who were directly Bhagavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made Ishvara Puri glorious by becoming his disciple. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Gora, he is Mahaprabhu, he is the Jagadguru. He is non-different from Radha and Krishna, and he is the life of those who are followers of Rupa Goswami. Very dear to this Mahaprabhu, Vishvamba Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, were Swarup Damodar and Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. Jiva and Raghunath Das Goswamis were great personalities who are very dear to Rupa Goswami. And dear to Jiva and Raghunath was Krishna Das Kavigata. Among the dearest to Krishna Das was Narottam Das, who was inclined to service. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur aspired for the lotus feet of Narottam. A devotee along with Vishwanath was Baladev, Vidyabhushan, and Jagannath Das Babaji, very dear to who was Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Greatest of the Mahabhagavats was Sri Gaurakishore, whose pleasure was in Haribhajan. Now the original words of the song have been changed here because Bhaktisiddhanta, the original words are Ami Seva Rudashin Namate Tri Dandi Deen Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. The original, but they changed it because they didn't want to put him expressing his humility, and they wanted to add the name of Srila Prabhupada also. But the original words, yeah, okay, you can say that. He said that I am indifferent to service. So in this way he's expressing his humility. And I am in name the Tridandi or the Vaishnav Sannyasi, but actually I'm very fallen, he says. Yeah, and known as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And the last line, I can't remember, it's not in this book. So let us speak something about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. A devotee is enjoined, especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has enjoined followers of his sampradaya to be humble, not to be proud. But in one sense, a Vaishnava can be proud. Not on our own behalf, but we are proud to be associated with so many great Vaishnavas. In our Gaudiya Parampara, there are such great devotees that when we think of them, then we think of Krishna's statement that my devotee is greater than me, and it seems like that. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one of the many extraordinary statements he made, and controversial statements he made, was that even a neophyte devotee in the Gaudiya line is the leaders or the acharyas of the sampradayas, of the other sampradayas, they're on the level of a neophyte in the Gaudiya line. Which actually, if we consider, it's not a sectarian statement, it's a scientific statement. But that's not to denigrate the acharyas of other sampradayas. But it just goes to show the greatness of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, in as much as it introduces us personally to Bhagavan in a manner that is not imaginable to those in other sampradayas. And in fact, when the topics that the Gauriyas in their esoteric state discuss are brought to the attention of devotees in other sampradayas, they recoil, they reject that, they cannot accommodate it within their consciousness. So if even a neophyte in the Gaudiya Sampradaya is so much advanced, then what to speak of those who are Prabhupada, those who are the leaders of many devotees in the Gaudiya line. Devotees on the level of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada, hardly one or two may appear in the universe within a day of Brahma. And Brahma's work of creating the Brahmanda is of no use unless such devotees appear within this world. Even the appearance of the various avatars will not help the people of the universe very much unless the devotees point out to the ignorant people that these are Bhagavan and we should serve them. It's especially my great pleasure to attempt to speak on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Of course, it is the pleasure of every genuine devotee to praise such great devotees. And such praise is the only genuine function of the tongue. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, that tongue that does not glorify Krishna and his devotees is like the tongue of a frog, simply making some loud sound that attracts the snake to come and swallow it. But maybe I can claim that it's especially my pleasure because I've been engaged for many years in researching details of his teachings and activities for the purpose of composing a book about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And I've spent literally thousands of hours working on that book which is almost ready for publication. So I think if I do nothing else in my life, that I can be satisfied to produce that book. Although if we actually enter into the spirit of Bhaktivedanta Vani, Bhaktisiddhanta Vani, the teachings of our acharyas, then we won't be satisfied with doing anything. We'll always want to do more in the service. Anyway, I think most of you don't know very much about him. You do know much about him in as much or as far as we have accepted the principle of surrender to Krishna under the guidance of, or under the directions of, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. We cannot actually know about a spiritual personality by simply by relating the details of the, what we consider their life story. Someone may say, yeah, I know about Einstein. He was born in such and such a year, in such and such a place, and then he was a failure at school, and then he became successful in studies, and he went to America, and so on and so on. So like this, one may know about Einstein or Napoleon or Mahatma Gandhi or such persons by studying the details of their lives and theirs and what they said. But one can actually know an acharya not by amassing details about his, where he was born, what he liked to eat, how he dressed, and so on. An acharya is known principally by his vani, or his speaking. We worship the guru by offering flowers and other items at his feet. But the acharya is more importantly served by hearing from his mouth, hearing through the ear, that means. So though a person can, we can actually understand the acharyas by accepting what they come to give us. And what is that? That is sevan mukta, the inclination to serve Krishna. As in this song we just sung, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur opens it by saying, Krishna hoite chaturmukha, that from Krishna chaturmukha, Brahma hoi sevanmukha. Krishna hoite chaturmukha, Brahma, he became inclined to service to Krishna. So this is the essence of an acharya's being, his desire to serve Krishna and his devotees. Krishna hoi te chaturmukha, hoi Krishna sevanmukha. Yeah, he desires to serve Krishna instead of serving Maya. Nevertheless, the acharya is a personality. Acharya is, guru is one in the sense that all gurus teach basically the same thing. They do not belong to the time and space of this material world. Nevertheless, they appear within human society in various phases of its degradation. So how they apply the teachings of Krishna Bhakti within the various circumstances in which they appear is instructive to us. And although guru is one, in principle, each is a distinct personality. Just like Radha and Rukmini, they both have the, they're one in the principle of complete surrender to Krishna, complete service to Krishna. But they do so in ways which, many ways similar, and but they're in many ways different also. Their whole outlook in many ways is different. But they both please Krishna, although in different ways. So, although we cannot fully understand the personality of an acharya by listing, like a historian, his details of what he did, where he went, and all these things, we cannot fully understand his personality from these things. But it gives us an angle from which to begin to appreciate his teachings and his personality. Because like any other, like all other phenomena, a person is defined and understood in terms of all other phenomena around it or him, and how that particular phenomenon interacts with the others. Well, when we're discussing Bhaktisiddhanta, in Vellore we already have, there's nothing easy to say. All right, you can skip that if you want. We understand a person in relation to everything, how he reacts, what he does. Like Krishna says Arjuna says in Bhagavad Gita, Stita Pragyasya Ka Bhasha Samadhi Stasya Keshava. So, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared in this world in 1874 in Puri Dham. Who has been to Puri? So you've visited also the birthplace of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I presume, because all ISKCON devotees who go there visit there. At present there's a mutt there, a Gauriya mutt, but that's relatively new. That was constructed, I think, early 1980s, something like that. But that is the site of the rented house in which he was born. His father was the great Gauriya Acharya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is also on a level that we can't even begin to understand or appreciate what is the level of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The people of the world are so unfortunate. They cannot understand a Vaishnava, as Vrindavan Das Thakur says in Chaitanya Bhagavat, that Dhanamadanda Vaishnavete Nachinete, Vaishnav Nachinete. That these stupid people of the world, being blinded by pride and wealth, they cannot recognize a Vaishnava. Anyway, suffice here to say, as we don't have so much time, that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a Vaishnav of a level that is extremely beyond the comprehension of Lord Brahma, what to speak of us. And although Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was superficially his son, there was never any mundane father-son relationship between them. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he never thought of his of Bhaktivinoda Thakur like father, but he always respected him as a Mahabhagavat Vaishnava. His mother was also a pure devotee, Bhagavati Devi. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur had been ordered by Krishna to serve his mission. Once when Bhaktivinoda Thakur decided to go and live in Vrindavan, but he received a message in his dream that no, you cannot go to Vrindavan. You have much work to do in Mayapur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very anxious to preach Krishna consciousness, but he felt constrained in doing so as he was a family man. And in Puri, he was praying to Jagannath that you send someone of one of your own personal devotees to help push on this mission. When this child was born, the fourth son of Bhaktivinoda, his umbilical cord was wrapped around his body like that of a brahmana's thread. An astrologer was commissioned to make his Janma Patrika, and he said that I've examined many charts in my life, but never have I seen one like this, in which all 32, all the symptoms of a great personality are there. The child was named Bimala Prasad. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as was common in Indian families, or at least in Bengali families, they would name all the boys with a similar name. So the first was called Anada Prasad, the second Kamala Prasad, the third I can't remember, and the fourth was this Vimala Prasad. So Prasad, of course, means mercy, and the names were given, Anada, Kamala, Vimala, later Lalita, these are all names of the Shaktis of Bhagavan, who are, you know, especially the Shaktis, forms of, these are common names of Durga actually. In the temple of Jagannath at Puri, within the complex, there is also the temple of Bimala Devi, the form form of Durga, who is the Shakti of Jagannath. Although Bimala is also the name of a gopi of Vrindavan. When the child was about 6 months old, it was time for Jagannath's Rath Yatra. The Jagannath's Ratham had gone how far is that? It's about less than half a kilometer out of the temple in front of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. It stopped and no one could move it. So actually up until today, they always stops there. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, seeing that it was stopped, he organized a Sankirtan festival, and he had his wife bring the baby onto the Ratham to perform the Annaprashana ceremony, the giving of the first grains with Jagannath Prasad. When the mother brought the baby before Jagannath, the garland fell down from Jagannath automatically and encircled the body of the child. And this confirmed to Bhaktivinoda Thakur that the person he had been praying to, from Jagannath, to send me one of your own devotees, this was the child born to him. When Bimala Prasad was no more than 4 years old, an incident occurred that demonstrated his future character as an acharya. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had brought home some mangoes, and the young boy took one and ate it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur reproved him, saying that, well, everything first has to be offered to Giridhari. They were worshipping the Govardhan Shila. Without offering to Giridhari Shila, nothing should be taken. So the young boy, who was just an infant, he was greatly remorseful, and he declared himself an offender, and he vowed on the spot never to again eat mangoes throughout his life. So there's much to say, but there's no time now. When the book comes out, you can get. Of course, it would have to be translated in Tamil, but I don't know when that will happen. Anyway, there are so many details, but the important thing, well, there are many important things, but the important thing is that he founded the Sri Chaitanya Math, and then the Gauriya Math, which was an organization for establishing and preaching the pure principles of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. That was a very powerful movement which established 64 or so centers, mostly in India but also outside. Unfortunately, or by the inexplicable will of Krishna or whatever, shortly after the disappearance of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the Gauriya Math dissolved into various factions due to infighting. And later, as you know, our own Srila Prabhupada fulfilled the desire of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and all the acharyas and Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by founding ISKCON and preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world. It's doubtful if any of us could, if the Gauriya Math had stayed intact, it's doubtful if any of us could have joined it, because the standards for to be a member were so tough that I don't think we'd have made it. It was especially for preaching all over the world, the level of austerity that was required, the average Westerner just couldn't imagine. And the level of bhajan also. This Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur insisted that everyone chant 64 rounds every day. And there was no japa period. And everyone had full engagement in service all day. but still you were expected to chant 64 rounds. So many devotees, it was a common thing, devotees were late at night, they'd be chanting. Even for the grihasthas, they were expected, when they finished their job, not to go home, to come to the mat and stay at the mat for the whole evening program, and then not go home but finish their chanting. And if necessary, they were to stay all night and just chant. And of course, not everyone followed all of these things, but that was the standard he was pushing. And he himself was, he was the only disciple of Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj, who was known as Sakshad Vairagya Murti, the very form of renunciation personified. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was not any less renounced in his practice of Krishna consciousness than Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj. Before he founded the Gauriya Math, for over 9 years, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was living in Mayapur, which at that time was undeveloped. He was living first of all in a mud and grass hut, and later on he built a brick hut, and he was chanting Hare Krishna day and night for over 9 years. So he his vow was to chant 100 crores of holy names, which means 1,000,000,000 holy names, which took him just over 9 years to do. Day and night he was chanting. So practically he wasn't eating or sleeping. He would cook rice once a day and he'd go on chanting. He had been ordered by Bhaktivinoda Thakur to preach Krishna consciousness and by Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj. But he was feeling, he started to do that and had some success, but he faced such opposition from the Sahajiyas or so-called Vaishnavas that he was apparently somewhat dejected and discouraged from doing so. He had a few disciples who were living with him, but he was leading in Mayapur. Some young men had come to him and he'd made them disciples, but basically he was living a withdrawn existence. When in a dream, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and so many of his great associates and his own Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj, they all came and told him, don't be discouraged, go and preach, we're with you, we're helping you, and we'll give you everything. So on Gaur Purnima in 1918, he founded the Sri Chaitanya Math in Mayapur, and on the same day accepted sannyas. There's no need for him to accept sannyas, the renounced order of life. He was already totally renounced from any material pleasure. But he did so for the sake of preaching. After some time, he came to Calcutta and founded there the Sri Gauriya Math, and eventually many branches of the Gauriya Math, which itself was considered a branch of Sri Chaitanya Math, many branches were developed. So there are many features of his personality which are well known and extraordinary and inimitable. I already mentioned something about his level of bhajan and his austerity. That austerity, that is not like the austerity of the yogis who try to withdraw themselves from this material world, from sense gratification, so to become free from maya. It comes from a different platform altogether. Vaishnav like Gaur Kishordas Babaji Maharaj, who doesn't make any endeavor to eat or for any residence or for clothing, doesn't do so to try to become renounced from this material world, but just they don't have any interest, they don't have any time, they're just absorbed in bhajan. And practically, they don't have any bodily needs because they don't identify with the body at all. They're living although apparently in this world, they're living in the spiritual world. Another prominent feature of the personality of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was his scholarship. The level of Shastric, the general level of Shastric scholarship in India at that time was, although much degraded from previously, was far, far higher than that which is than that of today. And especially among the modern educated middle class in Calcutta, where Bimala Prasad was principally raised, the English or the Western education had also been introduced. So he was vastly learned in Shastra and in modern secular subjects also. He had encyclopedic knowledge of philosophies, both Oriental, so-called Oriental and Occidental. He, in his youth, he was especially expert in astronomy, which requires great expertise in mathematics. So his scholarship is like the British. They presume that the Indians are less intelligent, but he would meet with Britishers and with various scholars, and just by speaking with them in English, he would just totally demolish all their propositions. They just presumed, the Westerners just presumed, that Hinduism was some savagery. And they would accuse of idolatry and Krishna's immorality, and that the stories in the Puranas, they're impossible, they're just fairy tales fit for children. And without compromising in the slightest, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would meet these people and totally demolish their wrong ideas with scholarly presentations that even the Western scholars speaking to him admitted that they found very difficult to understand, which was a great humiliation for them, because they presumed that they, the Westerners, they knew everything and the Indians were just stupid. Of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wasn't Indian. He was perceived like that by these idiots. So that's another feature of him. He's very, very strong, uncompromising preaching, and absolute sticking to truth, total integrity. He would not tolerate anything which was untrue. He smashed all kinds of wrong philosophies and arguments. It's very, very powerful in his condemnation of all bogus philosophies. People would come before him, and if they said anything wrong, he would just completely smash it. Even his own disciples, sometimes they were afraid to bring people before him, because they'd be collecting money from people, but they were afraid, if we bring this person to meet Guru Maharaj, he'll smash their misconceptions so badly that they won't want to give any more money. But he would always say, preach the truth, don't worry for money, money will come. He would say that if we fail to speak the truth, then we are not servants of the truth, then we are servants of the public, we are servants of falsity. He was also, he also made many statements which are just shocking. He said that if in order to serve the order of the Vaishnav Guru, if I have to be apparently arrogant or brutish, like an animal in my force, then I am prepared to do so. If to serve the order of the Vaishnav Guru, I have to go to hell, I am prepared to do so and to sign a contract to that effect. He said that even though my Guru Maharaj was apparently illiterate, all the conclusions of the Vaishnav scriptures were contained in a drop of dust from his lotus feet. And he said, I will not be detracted from serving the order of the Vaishnav Guru by the protestations, the protests of insincere people. You see, if you speak the truth, then the hypocrites, they will criticize. But he would not be swayed by the words of hypocrites. Hypocritical people talk of peace, love, humanitarianism, harmony, tolerance, but actually they're just interested in sense gratification. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would point out that there is no question of any good for human society unless we recognize the principle of total surrender to Krishna, accepting him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Of course, he was not just breaking all the wrong philosophies, but he was Rupanuga Bhaktida. He was the giver of bhakti in the line of Rupa Goswami. He is Madhuryojvala Premadhya. He is the Shri Rupanuga Bhakti. Yeah, he is the giver of bhakti, that the highest level of the gopis' sweet love for Krishna. He was giving that. But he did not speak of this very much because people were unfit. But sometimes among his disciples he would speak about these topics. And he would become, his bodily features would become transformed. He was very partial toward Radha. When one of his sannyasi disciples asked him that, why did Krishna leave Radha in the Ras Lila? Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur became angry. And he said, why are you bringing this question? What bhakti do you find here? The very question was rejected. Of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and other acharyas had explained this difficult to understand pastime. But Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, he could not even... He wouldn't even accept this. He didn't even like to think of this subject. So these are very difficult topics to understand. Once at Radha Kund, the sacred lake of Radharani, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was staying there for some days with some of his innermost group of disciples. And one of, in Paramananda Brahmachari, who was, I think, his third disciple, the one who had stayed with him for so many years, he came running into Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's room, very excited. He said that the Dewan of Bharatpur is here with his whole family. Dewan, it means something like the Prime Minister. Not Jamindar, no. Dewan. It means like the Prime Minister of Bharatpur state. Practically, he was the Dewan in the princely states under the British time. Practically, they were the rulers, the Dewan. So he was a powerful and prominent person. So Paramananda Brahmachari said that the Dewan of Bharatpur is here and he's performing Dandavat Parikrama of Radha Kunda with his whole family. Paramananda Brahmachari excitedly reported this to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, because Dandavat Parikrama, you can explain what that means, just briefly. It's a sign of humility, especially for such a big man of the material world. It's a sign of bhakti. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he commented in reply. He said, yes, they are doing Dandavat Parikrama of Radha Kunda. They have respect for Radha because of her relationship with Krishna. But as far as we are concerned, we have respect for Krishna because of his relationship with Radha. So this is impossible to understand unless one is on a very high level of understanding. But it's not just a matter of intellectual understanding. It is the pinnacle of theistic understanding. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that Vaishnava is a general term which means a devotee of Vishnu. The term Karshna is more specific. It means a family member or a devotee of Krishna. But there's one other term, Gauriya. So Gauriya, generally people think that's a term which means Bengali Vaishnava. That's derived from Gaura, which is the old name of West Bengal. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that the esoteric or inner meaning of Gauriya is one who is a devotee of Radharani. So there's so much to say. Is the offering ready to make? It's ready? Does anyone have any questions? Gauriya Math was an organization meant for, I said that already. You can say it again. It's a little difficult to understand all these things unless you have some philosophical understanding, some historical knowledge, all these things. You can't really expect someone just coming in to grasp what is linear Gauri Amat. Okay, so shall we go into the Pushpanjali? Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Atarya Ashtotha Sata Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Gosai Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.